Happy Monday, everyone. Stephanie here. So pleased to welcome you to this Monday's call. We have quite a treat in store for you. We're going to talk about surges, and Robbie and John, two Limitless Advisors, are going to share their experiences in just a moment. Before we get to the really good stuff, a couple of housekeeping updates. One, our Growth Summit is coming up. If you have not registered, please do that. This is really all about gearing up for growth for year one, making sure you're laying the tracks, setting those foundations in place, year two, three, four alumni, right? It's gearing into just deepening and developing that marketing machine. If succession is on your radar, we have a new succession workshop that I'm doing with Jared from Destiny Capital, which we're really excited about. And then for those of you who have Lifestyle Bundle or who will be joining us as an add-on, we have the growth workshops. We're really excited about these. We did the first round in March. These are basically 2 days of half-day sessions where we're diving into the lesson. You've got pre-work, we're digging in and developing strategies and making decisions, and then you're pretty much set to go back, refine a few things, and then implement. So Allison has designed the workshop schedule so that over the course of 2 or 3 years, if you want to take longer, if you go to those workshops, you will cover every core lesson over the course of the 2 years. So it's a really good way to just put yourself on that track and get support along the way if you're not in the bundle program. Right, upcoming calls. We're going through quarterly check-ins. I did intend to have this done last week. It was my first week back from my 30-day summer vacay. When I take long trips, I do this crazy thing. I leave a buffer between my vacation and starting work so that I don't come back to an avalanche, which I typically don't. In this case, it was a really good thing that I did because my safari in Kenya was amazing, life-changing. I'll show you some pictures. We'll do an inbox. I mean, like fabulously radical, amazing. And the last 2 days, I caught the Kenyan death plague. It's not technically called that. I don't know what they technically call it, but it felt like that. I didn't eat or drink for 5 days. I had to stop at the hospital in Dubai just to make it home. When I came home through literally Dubai from Amsterdam to Salt Lake, so it couldn't have been a slightly longer trip, but we thought we were going to stop and have fun in these places on the way back. So I basically turned myself inside out for a week, lost 12 pounds, and spent last week just trying to become human again. So as I shared with the team this morning, I feel great. I feel human. I am excited for life. So the next 5 months, like game on, ladies and gentlemen, we're all in. So if you're having any challenges, if you need to know what's next, if you need to get some mindset shifts in place, if you're meeting with resistance and you don't know why, if you've got specific practice issues, or want to figure out exactly what you want to work on next, then me, Adam, Liz, and Natalie are all going to be on our August 12th call. Which we're going to focus on getting unstuck. We're going to have different rooms with different coaches so we can really give you some personal time and attention if you need help getting over the hump. You'll also get check-ins from me this week. Again, apologies, I had intended to send them last week, but I was dying. So you're going to get a much better message from me this week. Our coaching call with Liz is on the 19th. If you have not come to one of those, I encourage you to do it. If you're stuck, if you're struggling, if you've got resistance, if you know you need to do something and you're putting it off, this is a great place to go to get over that hump, if you will. And then Coach Adam will be leading his cohort call at the end of the month if you're in the cohort for a little bit more one-on-one attention. All right, with that, Allison, should I show my lion kill picture really quick? All right. If you don't want to see something being eaten, please close your eyes. That's all I'm going to say, because I have like 1,000,000,000 of these, but this is one of the ones I just grabbed really quick. There's like a whole pride of lions. Like this is like 5 feet away from me. Like if that lion just jumped up, she could have just at me. No problem. It's crazy that they don't. Like it's incredible. And then we got to stay at the Giraffe Manor. So this was the one photo. I got a couple of photos the first night there before I got like deathly ill. But this was the giraffes like come into your room and you have to feed them at 6 a.m. My kids were not that excited because they got the giraffe room. You like they're at your window. They let them in at breakfast and stuff. It's pretty cool. So if you have kids, it is an incredible place to take them.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we saw the elusive leopard was like the highlight because no, you guys love the mojo. Like we saw all the things people never see multiple times. They were like, she is so lucky. And I'm like, I know. The mojo works every time. All right, Allison, I'm gonna let you take it over. We've got Rob and John who have substantive conversations to have with our members. So I will
Yes.
wind down my enthusiasm and turn it over for some heartfelt education.
Okay, awesome. Well, we are super excited for today's call today. Some of you may know our two guest attendees. Others, they may be new to you, but we have John Bonsack, who is with Adams Firm. And John has been there since 2021, and he is our surge expert. So he knows behind the scenes everything Adam is doing to be successful with surges, John is doing to be successful with surges at the firm. So we're super excited to show you behind the scenes there. Second, we have Robbie Hansen. Robbie was one of our leaders, members for several years, and has agreed to come back and show you behind the scenes of their surge processes. So this is going to be a super collaborative call. If you have questions, please feel free to jump in to let them know. We have built some time for questions throughout what they're going to be sharing with you today. But I know both of them would love just to open the conversation at any point you really feel like you need some further clarity or insight into what they're sharing. So we will go ahead and kick off. Thank you both for being here. We are excited to have you. So we are going to get started with a question in the chat. So I want everyone to drop in the chat the answer to these two questions. Robbie and John, you can help me read them out as they start to come in. Okay, let's see. All right, follow through on tasks after surge.
Yep, that's a big one. I saw content down there, like what you cover during surge. Yep.
Okay, prep work, getting clients to book a meeting ahead of time for later in the year surge. Feeling behind and not getting enough lead time,
Yep.
scheduling prepping.
Sounds spot on to all
Yep.
this whole leading all through.
That's what I was thinking too. Yep, all these things are true. Very true.
Okay, integrating marketing, new
Yep.
prospects, surge periods. It's interesting. Feeling behind, not getting enough lead time, scheduling prepping before meetings actually start. I think that's something we've talked about. Okay, and awesome. Okay, so I think these questions are in alignment with what Robbie and John are going to be going through today. If at the end of the call you still don't feel like you have clarity or a path forward for how you might approach something that you're struggling with, we've saved some time for you to ask and dive into these questions afterward too. But hopefully, as we go through this today, you'll have some great ideas and see how both of them are dealing with some of these struggling points. All right, Robbie, let's kick it off with our process.
Perfect. So I think most of you have seen this document at least once, and I know they've talked through it before, the team has, but it really is just such a helpful tool to kind of lay out here is the best practice. This is what we want to aim towards as we build out the surge process. And I do want to emphasize aim towards because we're in our fourth year of surges and we're still working towards this goal of setting it up this efficiently and having a process this detailed. So it is, again, step by step, moving target kind of thing. But as you're getting into it, I think the four main steps always stay the same. You're always having to schedule, you're having to prepare for the meetings, you're having to conduct the meetings, and doing the follow-up. And I know a lot of these are, I mean, every aspect of that is what people just listed as concerns and pain points. But really, as you kind of pull things from this slide and from the conversation today, try to find one or two of your pain points, figure out a solution or two, and just work towards that for this next surge you might be in or the first surge you want to conduct, and then go from there. So it is one step at a time. For scheduling, it's stuff like you gotta weeks out, make sure you're actually reaching out to all clients that are going to be a part of the surge. You're inviting them to the meeting, you're automating some of that, because calendar problems can cause a whole lot of other problems. So not just the 6 weeks out, 4 weeks out, make sure you are sending follow-ups and you're actively reaching out to the people that aren't responding. It's a huge pain point for us has always been the people that don't get involved in the surge that really need to be, and then they drag out the surge to a longer, added weeks to the schedule, or we have to tackle those topics in their next surge meeting. So as proactive as you can be really limits some of that. And then same thing with preparation. As the events are getting scheduled, as everybody's getting on the calendar, it kind of helps prioritize where do you jump in first, who do you start working on, and building out all the content, everything you're going to deliver, the meeting as well, just making sure that you are conducting the meeting. And really the first two steps, I can't emphasize enough how important they are, so that way you are fully engaged and focused in the meetings and you're not stressing about still prepping for what's coming up or any last second changes. So you really do need to be 100% present in the surge for it to go successful is what we found. And then again, follow-up is our biggest pain point, something we've been working on for the last few years. And I think we've got a good rhythm for now, but yeah, you have sometimes 100 meetings in 6 weeks and can lead to a lot of post-meeting work that causes some stress. So just making sure you don't drop the ball on that causes a lot of help. But it, again, we've, because of Stephanie and Allison and the team, really, as we've done this, got better at telling clients during these meetings, we'll send this follow-up to you immediately, but we're going to get to this later, maybe a few weeks from now, get back to you on this. It really is kind of laying out expectations and taking some of the pressure off you while you're trying to deliver everything from the conversation.
Awesome. Thanks for reviewing that, Robbie. Any additional commentary, John?
Yeah, I just want to emphasize what Robbie said, like the four key points of scheduling, preparation, meeting, and follow-up, like those are the steps. What you do underneath those can be customized for your practice and can change as your practice grows. Like the practice that I started with Adam is, I mean, it's completely different from what we're at now. And so we've had to change that as along the way. So as you grow, these things will change as well.
Awesome. Okay, so this is our searching at your comfort level cheat sheet, essentially. John, do you want to walk us through kind of how you and Adam have approached this?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the beginning of each year, we schedule when we want to have our surges. You know, the April, May, October, November is definitely the time frame in which we do that. You know, for me working at my prior firm, surges were happening at my prior firm, but we weren't being proactive about it. They're just naturally happening. And so I do like the formality of having a surge, because whether you plan it or not, in most firms, you are having a surge. So for each advisor, it's planning on how many meetings you want to have per day. You know, I've seen all sorts of numbers, but I think it has to be kind of customized to your service model and what personally you can handle, and how long you want to have that surge going. You know, obviously the less meetings per day, I mean, extends out your surge process, but you also have a little more free time in there, and then vice versa on the, you know, five meetings per day, it shortens the surge process, but can get pretty intense. The calculus of it is pretty easy, because you just got to figure out how many clients you're currently serving, how many meetings per day you want to do, and then how many weeks that's going to take you, and just work it from there. And that's how much you want to block out for your surges. Personally, I add a couple of weeks to give myself a break in the surges. So let's say I was doing three meetings per day. I wouldn't actually do it over 18 weeks. I'd probably do it over 20 weeks and give myself a little bit of a break. Maybe at week 9 and maybe week 15 or something like that, or similar to the five meetings per day in 11 weeks, I might actually do it in 13 and give myself a break in week 4 and 9 for example.
That's good. Do you any kind of modifications on your end, Robbie, or do you just kind of stick to like Fast and Furious?
We have, again, it's changed so much, just like John said. I feel like the first 2 years of Surges, we just surged every day of the year almost. It was a huge learning curve for us. But we've gotten a lot better with the preparation and the scheduling side, to where we're trying to target 6 meetings a day on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, and really trying to do Surges. We, I guess, map out 7 weeks on the calendar for each Surge, but right in the middle, we have a week off. So it really is getting 110 meetings in 6 weeks done is the goal.
Okay, awesome. Any questions or comments on this slide or the following one? Okay, great. I have the process down. Okay, next
I have a question, sorry.
Okay, so, sure, Shani.
Yeah, so it looks like you have, you know, in the previous slide was 14 weeks, 18 weeks. So it's more than 2 months, right? So it's like for 14 weeks, for example, so a month only has 4 weeks. So that's like 2 months and a half. Yeah, like that. So it's not just April, May. You're doing April, May, June, probably a little bit of, is that right?
Correct. Yeah. And yeah, it's just all personal preference. The reason I like it so much is I know when I'm off and I can build my safari trip to Kenya in. I think Steffi convinced me to do that now. But yeah, you're right. It could extend longer than, you know, just April, May, or October, November.
Okay.
Yep. I think it's good to look at your stop point. So at the end, yeah. For example, surging in the latter half of the year, when do you want to be done? You know, is that by Halloween? You know, and then work backward from that point. I think it's something that's been helpful as I've heard advisors talk about this. And really building it in conjunction with, you know, your personal schedule and the time that is most important to you to not be in a surge period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel pretty strongly about being done before Thanksgiving for my surge. I don't know, Robbie, if you have the same. Just giving 6 weeks before year end, we like to take the last week of the year off. But yeah, for me, it's like go through hell or high water to make sure that I'm done by Thanksgiving.
Yep. I was going to share my calendar today to show a little bit, but ours is Thanksgiving as well.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we have Roshani, we have examples of the model office calendar in the library. We put together 3 days a week, 4 days or 4 meets a week and 5 examples of those templates in the library. So you can just pull up that template and see where that would put you in terms of the year with a few holidays built in. And we built in the Limitless events as well. So make sure you leave a week so you can focus on doing your Limitless work in September too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Next, we have a little bit about John's team, and John is going to elaborate on the different roles everyone has in the firm and how they really come together to make this surge process streamlined. So John, I'll let you introduce everyone. And then following that, John and Robbie both are going to screen share and go through what this really looks like in action. So John will do his portion of that after you intro everyone on your team, John.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, so I'm lucky enough to have just a wonderful team assisting with our clients that we have the privilege to serve. So I'm the lead advisor within this kind of, I guess you could, diamond team, if you will, if you've heard that concept before. And so Kate is, she's my associate advisor. Some people call it second chair. It could be a paraplanner. But she is doing all the heavy lifting in regards to the meeting prep for me. I kind of think of her, let's keep with the safari analogy, like we're going in a path and she has a sword there and she's kind of chopping all the branches and trees down as we go forward. So I can see a bigger picture of what's going on with the client. So a lot of the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s of have they made their contributions yet? What's the return on the portfolio? what's the biggest concern she's taking care of so I can look bigger and see if there's a bigger issue you need to take care of, spending, maybe some complex estate or tax planning idea, everything there. Kathy is our heart and soul of our practice. She is the one who's driving our operations for all of this. And her role is so important to make sure everything is done efficiently and getting taken care of and getting everyone into our process. And that's our process. And I'll show what steps each of us have to do through our the workflow we've created for Surge. Do you want me to just go and show and tell right now?
Yes, let's jump to that.
Okay.
Well, you can take over, John.
All right, perfect. So let me share my screen. So there's particular three things I wanted to show. One is our workflow that we have in Redtail. As most people know, Adam's a very big Redtail CRM user. And so we built that all in there. So let me share my screen here. I have an example for our client, Jonathan Doe. So let me grab here. Go. All right. Allison, do you see my red tail here? Okay.
What's
perfect. So this is a sample workflow that we have set up, and then I'll go through all of the steps we have in here. The devil's in the details with Surge. I know we talked about generally how it works, but if you get the details right, it really makes a huge, huge difference. So I definitely want to go this within detail. So on this workflow, this is the client has rescheduled their review meeting. So for us, our niche with optometrists work really well, because if you go to an optometry practice, they typically pre-schedule you for your next annual meeting. And so our niche actually understands that really well. I feel very lucky for working with that. I know working with retirees might be a little bit different than that, but we try to schedule that ahead of time. And so when that meeting is reviewed, then this workflow gets kicked off. All this is taken care of by Kathy, the assigned to client service team. So she's taking the information from the scheduling activity from Acuity and putting it in here. What time's the meeting? How are we going to meet? Any information that the client wants to make sure we discuss about, and then moving for certain steps to certain dates before the meeting. We do have a templated agenda, which I'll show it to you. If the client mentions anything in their email to schedule, we'll make sure that's included in the agenda. They wanted to talk about 529 plans for their kids. They're thinking about applying for a Social Security benefit. Are they on track for retirement? She'll go ahead and add that. And then just a prep, like a thank you email. Hey, we got you scheduled. Thanks for taking the time. We have that saved in our text expander as a templated email. So we got that. And then next is making sure our e-money is updated. So we use e-money to make sure that all the information is coming through for us. So are the links that are coming over, as you all know who use e-money, they don't work 100% of the time. So are they updated? If they're not updated, I like Kathy to let me know so I can get that information beforehand, so I can get an up-to-date net worth statement. If we needed any financial statements, maybe a client who has a client who works for a publicly traded company and they have some RSUs or any stocks, like making sure we get documents on that. And then any reminders, emails there saying if we need anything follow up needed there. Next here, we got any additional docs received. So that's following up. Did we receive those docs? If not, follow up with them. And then here, prep any forms needed. So I might tell Kathy, we're going to do a backdoor Roth IRA for this client. It's a home run, slam dunk, whatever sport ball metaphor you want to use on that. We're going to do it. So let's go ahead and prepare the forms and send it to them ahead of time. So when they're there, they can just sign it, or some basic ones, either set up journaling instructions, checking instructions, just like the the ABCs, 1, 2, 3s of forms that as advisors, we know we need to do, changing beneficiary forms. So all that stuff is up on the front end and not on the back end, because we want to eliminate as many things we can do in the back end, because it's going to get overwhelming. Here, and I need to get, this actually should be updated, with Kate as a paraplanner. So we're transitioning Kate from a paraplanner associate advisor role to a full advisor role, but this is where Kate would be in. And this is where, if you have a paraplanner, this is where they would step in. So I would have Kate update the financial plan and e-money. So everything would be updated. The net worth statement would be updated, and I could review their financial plan, making sure everything's taken care of, all their insurance information's in there, everything's taken care of. And then the next step is utilize this meeting checklist. So in Redtail, we try to keep it as simple as possible in regards to the steps. This meeting checklist is very extensive, so I actually have a separate file for that checklist. I'm a big believer in checklists. If you ever read the book Checklist Manifesto, that'll talk to you a lot about how important checklists are. So,
hey John, do you mind just making your screen a little bit bigger?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Is that better?
Yeah, that looks great. Thanks.
Perfect. So this is my review meeting checklist. I'm assuming each of you have a checklist similar to this, but this is the way that I can communicate to my paraplanner, my associate advisor, what my expectations are that they check in preparation for the meeting. So on here, I call this our foundations. Like, why are we meeting? Like, why are we asking our client to spend an hour of time with us? And what are we trying to solve for? And is there any measurable progress we can share? A client getting past the $1 million net worth statement, their portfolio getting to $5 million. Any wins there that can kind of start the meeting with a warm fuzzy. Obviously reading previous notes, looking what's in Redtail, if there's anything we need to add to the agenda items from the previous meetings that we didn't get to, and that we can add to it. Obviously, you guys know we have a niche in optometrists, so we do have some practice management thing. This is unique to our niche. I know many of you have niches as well. So here I would be adding things regarding that niche that makes your service unique. For us, it's the reviewing the big three financial statements for a small business owner. We added this recently with debt management, with the interest rates going from historical lows to going up to 5, 6, 7%. You probably noticed you had some clients who've been making extra payments on loans that were at 2% and then having new loans at 7% and not making extra payments on that. So we've been reordering that. That's been a common theme that we've seen with our clients doing the right thing, trying to pay down debt, just picking the wrong debt to pay down. I have investments here, some data marks that I like to see, and I don't like to show the clients that, but making sure that the portfolio is well taken care of. Some more administrative small things here, like making sure we can move money the way we need to move money for the client, any tax planning. This could be a whole presentation on itself. Making sure that's reviewed, making sure that your state's taken care of, insurance needs. And then we also have age-related items. So I'd like to have my paraplanner check what age the client is. If they're turning 72, that means R&Ds are coming up. Obviously, if they're turning 62, a lot of them want to take Social Security. So talking to them about that. If their kids are turning 18, if we have power of attorney documents, they're taken care of. So those are age-related. And then last thing is opportunities, looking at the balance sheet to see if there's any opportunities, any lazy cash that needs to be deployed in their plan. Look at outside investment and management assets for us to manage. And then we started using Pontera to do some management of 401k plans. So this is how Kate prepares that agenda for me. And if I know she's got done this taken care of, she's taken, like I said, like the sword, the machete, gone through the past, so I can look at a bigger view to see if there's anything that I need to address with clients. And I'd be glad to share that checklist with anyone who is interested in that as well. I think I got a little more time left before I go. Yeah, so I review everything and then we actually have the meeting. It's important to dictate your notes as quickly as possible after that meeting because they're going to all blend together, especially if you're doing 5 or 6 meetings a day. So getting that taken care of. And then I really depend on my team, Kathy and Kate, to add tasks for their clients and putting our action items in our CRM at a time period that makes sense for me to get back to them. So them making the discretionary decision, the professional decision of what I said in the meeting about getting back to a client and then assigning the task for that proper, correct time. And then on the back end here, we have, you know, putting the information in, reviewing the notes. Did we schedule the next meeting so we can kick off the next floor for our next one? And then here we have some step posts in case the clients don't show up. It's very rare that I don't have a client show up for surge. I probably had 1 to 3 no-shows for surge, which surprises me, but we have a really good acceptance rate on our surges. Let me show the example agenda that we use. Allison, do I need to increase the size of this here?
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay. So this is a real agenda that I used for a client here in February. So I have every area of financial planning on it. And then I have Kate add notes to it. Okay, we got the burst. We got their tax return on file. This is unique to our niche. That's a low salary in which an optometrist should be making. So I wanted to talk to Robert about, these aren't their real names, but I wanted to talk to Robert about a salary and it should actually been doubled for several reasons. Investments, did we complete their backdoor Roth contributions? Are they maxing their 401ks? What the rebalance is here, cash flow, like big win, they paid off their mortgage. What we're going to do with the extra cash flow going forward there. Insurance risk management, estate, you know, other goals, reviewing the operating agreement here, and then allergy concerns. They changed their retirement goal to 55. We were talking about 60. So now they are talking about 55. So we want to make sure we address that in the meeting. I'll get it like this. And then what I will do is I'll prioritize what I want to talk about in order. Like in some cases, clients will gladly go through your agenda in order. Some of them will just pick a topic and then you just go from there. But this is how kind of I think about it. If a client had any additional items, like last minute items, they're like, oh, I want to talk about gifting Disney shares to my niece or something here, that'll be on there. And because they'll guarantee about 20, 30% of your clients will email you the day of or the day before with one more item that they want to add to it. If it's too complex, if they want like a full review of their estate documents or a full retirement projection, I'm just not going to meet that. So I'll set expectations that will cover that at a different time during the meeting. But if it's something small, you know, I've heard, someone told me about a donor advised fund. Can you explain to me what that is? I'll include that in the agenda as well. I got some further thoughts, but I'll cover that later in the meeting. That's kind of my deliverables. I have any questions? Sorry, I was looking at the screen here. Maybe there's some questions that came in. I didn't see them.
Yes, we have one from Steven. How many relationships are you responsible for, John?
I'm at 78 right now, and I've stopped taking on clients. So my scheduling is unique from what I started with, because I started with, oh gosh, I started with 50 clients. So at that time, I was doing surge and onboarding at the same time. And now at 78 with my book pretty much full, I'll take on some new clients if they're a right fit from a revenue standpoint and a personality standpoint, but I'm not doing them during surge. They're coming in after surge and I'm doing a separate time for them. I know I'll miss out some clients for that, but that that's okay. It's just kind of the nature of the business.
Okay. A few requests to share the checklist, which okay. I think John is planning on doing. Yep. Roshani's wondering, how many days before the meeting do you share the agenda with the client?
I actually don't share the meeting agenda with the client. I know a lot of advisors do that. But yeah, we haven't shared the meeting agenda with the client, and I haven't gotten any pushback or feedback on that. So I might argue, in my experience, that's an extra step that's not needed, but I know other practices who really strongly believe on that and makes their meetings more efficient.
And let's see. So Jim, similar question, what is included in the pre-meeting email?
Just a templated agenda, like a templated agenda, just really, really basic. Like just, we're going to cover tax, cash flow, very boilerplate, and just a reminder of what the date and time we're meeting and how we're meeting, whether it's phone call or Zoom. I don't meet anyone face to face. I've only actually met 4 or 5 of my clients face-to-face, given our practice and our niche. Just explaining how we're going to meet there. Really, really, really simple. Just more of a reminder to make sure they show up for the meeting. I think that's part of why we rarely have any no-shows for the meeting.
Okay. And how many days before the meeting do you ask the client for their agenda?
In the process here, let me check here. Yeah, it'd be a week before the meeting.
Okay, great. All right. Any further questions for John? Feel free to unmute if so. Okay. Great.
I've got a question. So is anybody using like a slideshow in the background during their meeting that helps to drive the agenda, for lack of better words?
So are you saying like a visual behind me? Like I could do instead of my office, yeah. I could do like a screen of like the upcoming agenda?
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
I've thought about it. I know there's some technology, like, you know, at the news where you have just the square behind you and then you got the background. Like, I've thought about that a little bit, but I haven't gone there. I do use drawing quite a bit. You know, I have my whiteboard right behind me, because I know a lot of advisors set up some kind of deliverable or custom report. I try to stay as far away from that as possible because of the surge process. It's just one more custom thing that we have to do. And I find out if I can draw it, like, you know, draw it on my whiteboard instead of creating an Excel file for it, that works really well for clients. It's just one step I'm trying to take away from preparing for clients. When I was in the more traditional firm, my practice room, we do customized reports for almost, you know, 30-40% of my clients, and it was just a time drag, and I didn't really find the clients really made a huge difference for them. So I'm bigger into drawing on my whiteboard and using that.
That makes sense, John. Just streamline it up front and get rid of the bells and whistles so that you're efficient. Okay, thank you so much.
Yep.
Hey, John, real quick, how many client relationships are you managing?
So I'm at 78 right now, and I'll probably top off at 880. And then that's just a personal preference for me. I think I could scale to 100. I just don't want to. And Adam's cool with that.
Makes sense. Thanks.
Yep.
Okay. Any other questions for John? Okay.
Just one quick one, just in terms of getting the stuff you need from the clients ahead of time, whether that's insurance information or getting them to update their e-money stuff, or, you know, all the pieces that you need to be able to do the plan. Mm-hmm. At least I personally have a lot of trouble getting people to engage when it comes to getting all the prep work done. So I'm just wondering what you do to make sure that actually happens.
Yeah, one is just using technology, right? Like using e-money, and so you don't have to grab so many of those statements. Two is following up. I mean, we'll do a fo like we'll do an email, and I'll do a phone call with them. And if they don't want to send me that information or don't find it important, I'm not gonna follow up with them on that. It's just recognizing you're not gonna get all the information from your client, and then just doing the best you can with the information you have during the meeting. So it's just meeting where the clients where they're at, and then talking to them about an easier process in the meeting about how can we help you get that data to us and make it easier for you. And just being honest with them is like, I can't, if you can't give me this information, I can't do my best work, and just being the client where it is. So I guess I just kind of look at it as a more a realistic view that we're just not going to get everything. We have to do the best of what we got.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, that's helpful because I was sort of looking at the checklist. It was sort of, I was imagining you just were had everything you possibly needed going into that to be able to check all that stuff off. And that's
No, we'll use the
why
re
I
the
never am able to
most
get there.
yeah
So
we'll use the
that's
most recent statements or the data that we have. Maybe we'll change it on the fly, but with the search process and what you're doing, if the client's not gonna participate in that, you just do with the best what you have and move forward. And I don't think that really changes, even if you had a the quote unquote typical advisor experience too, because you're still gonna have those clients who aren't gonna they're just not gonna get you that information. It's just not who they are.
Yeah,
We all have
perfect.
clients like that.
Yeah, thanks. Makes a lot of sense.
Hey, John, I got a question on,
Mm-hmm.
thanks for sharing all this stuff, by the way. On the review meeting checklist, that Excel sheet, is Kate or someone else, are they going through and manually like pulling and updating that each time? Or are you able to export some of that somehow?
Yeah, so it depends. So if Kate was a new hire or maybe the first time going through it, I would probably ask her to print it off and kind of hand check it through, and then we would go through that. So more of a training guide. Where Kate is right now, I have complete confidence in her, and so I just ask her to use it as a reference sheet to make sure she didn't forget everything. She's done enough of these that she has it pretty. She has it. I bet you she has it memorized by now. And so that's kind of how I've used it. Before I in a physical office, we're all virtual. I've gone to the process of like carrying that piece of paper around the office to do it. I in practice, it sounds nice, but practically, I think it's really hard to do. But yeah, I at the beginning, like I said, I would have her print it off, check it out, use it, and then as she gets more experience, it's just there as a guide.
So then you're not review the review meeting checklist is not for you to review before, it's for someone else. So before a meeting, you're reviewing the previous meeting notes, the agenda, what else?
Yeah, meeting notes, agenda, and then I'm just trying to think of anything that would be particularly helpful for that client that maybe just got missed on the agenda, so I can think a little bit, like I said, a little bit bigger on that saying, oh, actually this strategy would work really good for donor advice fund or something like that. Yeah, I'm just reading previous meeting notes and the agenda, and I'm trusting that Kate's got it all covered.
Okay.
Because I at the surge, I don't have the time to do that.
Yep.
So I need to depend on her to get that done.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Fabulous. Thank you, John. Next up, we have Robbie. All right, Robbie, can you take us through your team here? And then we'll transition to you showing and telling as well.
Perfect. So again, I'm Robbie Hansen. If you can see, similar last name, Chris Hansen, my dad started the firm. I've been with him for about 8 years now, and we've grown over the last handful of years of adding Ben and Trey on the team. Sharon's been a part of the team as a little over half-time client service role. But we are growing. It's It's been a really fun ride. It's just a little chaotic sometimes. So I was really excited to join this conversation because, John, I knew with you and Adam and how you guys work that you would have these amazing workflows and have everything systematized. And it's so fun to see that end of it because ours is definitely a bit more chaotic, not as efficient, but still shows that you can just get stuff done sometimes with Google Docs. So keeping it simple sometimes works too. But yeah, I can't wait to get to the point you just showed, John. But yeah, our team, it's hopefully going to have two more advisors by the end of this year, actually. Ben on our team is our director of financial planning. And what we mean by that is he's actually prepping most of the planning for all of our surge meetings. I'm not involved in any of the meeting prep because I'm involved in running all of the meetings and I'm kind of taking care of all of our growth. So because of that, I just don't have time to prep the meetings. I just need to make sure I can trust what they put together, what we're going to deliver. I fully understand it and I communicate it to the client. Trey is in that associate advisor position and he's taking a lot of notes. We're also getting him comfortable with leading and delivering some of the meetings and recommendations as we're hiring on two more advisors to backfill him. And Sharon is really helping out with everything operations and client service side. So the way we are set up is because we needed to get my dad out of client meetings. It's just something he's great at. His clients love him, but really is just not the right seat for him. Super draining. So I'd say I'm in about 98% of the meetings and he's maybe in 10 to 15%. I guess before I share my screen too, I did want to mention we have over 200 households we're working with. And a little different, the way we're set up is we kind of manage all of the households as a team. And that is changing slightly because of how fast we're growing. We brought on about 45 new clients last year, about 40 the year before that. So it's really been growing fast as we've kind of kicked things off, already on pace to hit that again this year. So we have about 125 that I say really fit into our search process. And I'm involved in, again, every single one of those meetings, unless we just double book and got to kind of break it out between the team.
Okay, great. Thanks, Robbie.
Yeah.
All right, we'll let you share screen here.
I wanted to kind of take a step back and talk about our calendar for surges a bit because it has changed so significantly. And actually it's changed a little bit because of John and Adam and advice they gave. So again, we work with physicians and that is our niche. So we kind of identified as we've been doing this the last 8 years, specifically with physicians, what planning really we should focus on with them, what is most urgent, and we should fit into surges. So we are more available outside of surges if something pops up that's urgent that they need help with. It's inevitable we're going to have some of those meetings outside of surges, but with everything, with adapting and adopting the surge process, we have really limited the amount of meetings outside of surges, which has been extremely helpful. It gets us to really focus just on growth, systematizing everything in the company, building up the team, all that kind of stuff. So the thing I kind of wanted to emphasize here is this is our 2025 calendar, kind of looking ahead. And I do have just a few different color codings on here, but some of the things I want to point out is we broke out into two main surges. So a little bit of May, most all of June, and a little bit of July is our tax planning surge. And then we have a major financial independence end of year surge from September and October. It's outside of that that we did add, because of John and Adam, a goal planning surge early on in the year. This was the first year we did that. So kind of laying out our service calendar. It really is like, let's kick off the year with a 30 to 45 minute surge process meeting of goal planning, what we want to get done throughout the year, what we want to focus on, what goals they have, how we can keep them accountable, and laying out, is there anything this year that's coming up that we should be aware of and maybe earmark we need to get back together for this? It really, really helps with making sure outside of surges, are we going to meet with that person or not? Possibly. It's kind of reduces the amount of surprises we have. And clients loved it. It was one of the big things on this is our 2024 calendar this year and a little bit of 2023. I would say most of the year we were surging. And one of the issues, especially in 2022 when we started doing this, was we were trying to do the financial independence surge at the beginning of the year. And you can kind of see this off green color where we're also trying to do tax prep. And we knew our clients wanted to meet at the beginning of the year. They wanted to kick things off. And unfortunately, not a lot of people respect tax preparation. They say, oh, yeah, that's getting done, but that's not a meeting. Where's the work? And they want to get together and focus on these things. So we're trying to do two of the biggest data gathering conversations of the year all at once. And it was a nightmare. It just did not work. It led to meetings being throughout the full year on this stuff, people missing part of that surge. And just having that conversation with Adam at one of the conferences was I just kick it off with a simple goal planning meeting, not a ton of prep. It's just a conversation. It put all of our clients at ease. Everyone was perfect with, yeah, let's just do the financial planning and or the financial independence late year surge in September, October instead. And yeah, it just resonated super well. So it shows that even after a few years of doing this, there's always room to adapt and grow. But again, with physicians, tax planning is huge for us, which is why it's its own surge. And then just reviewing the plan at the end of the year. These other colors, we call them surges because tax prep, it's not client meetings for a surge, but it is surging some of our work. So a whole lot of tax prep early on in the year. And then we do a lot with company benefits and review near the end of the year, which we try to handle all those just through email, phone calls, or Loom video, sending it back and forth. So no meetings. But yeah, the calendar has changed a lot as we've done this each year, but we're finally getting in that rhythm where we can take more time off and these days don't turn into one of these other colors. So, kind of also on this, we do have it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, just like the process is normally set up. We are doing six meetings a day, roughly. And some of the things that I found super helpful as we got into this were if you're doing all Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays, we don't do late meetings on Wednesdays. Gives us one evening in the week that we can kind of relax, super helpful. And we always block off the week before surge starts, the week right in the middle, and the week after. And we don't let any meetings, growth, prospect calls, anything during those weeks. So we can really finish up any preparation, anything we got to get done, kind of relax before it starts, try to catch up and get organized halfway through and really close out the entire surge and make sure it's good to go by that last week. So, other than that, I think that's it on the calendar. Let me pivot a little bit to, I was going to share some of our tech stack. I know sitting in some of these conversations, it's tough sometimes because you see, well, I can't do any of that because I don't use that CRM, that planning software, or something like that. But I did want to kind of point out a few things that we get really excited about. We're nerds. We love technology and software. So, definitely wanted to point these out. And you can see, like, Fireflies is, I thought, a part of today's conversation. AI tools have been incredible. And I'll kind of bring these up as we go. But we do use Salesforce, the Accelerate package, for our CRM. And really, because we knew we could customize and build out some of the ways we're using Google Drive for our documents, our note taking, all that kind of stuff. Loom has changed our company for preparing for meetings, putting together the summaries, everything, sending videos to clients, training for employees, just absolutely incredible for videos. And again, some of the AI tools I'll show. And then we use Calendly for scheduling. And then from there, so we do similar to John and Adam, we have with Salesforce's CRM, all these reports built out where we can really organize who's a part of this surge and who is going to be invited. And we actually kind of going back to the main surge process, those first two steps, which the first one is scheduling, second one is preparing, we did in the last year switch those. So first one is preparing, second one is scheduling, because we found it helped just kind of keep things calmer, where we're not trying to, if it almost felt like we're scheduling, trying to get all the work done, but what we can't get done and what meetings pop up in between, we're trying to work on pivot and go throughout the surge, and it kind of makes it a bit chaotic. So we've really focused on we're going to do all the work for everyone before the surge even starts. So that's why we do have these windows over here where it's just no surge meetings, trying to really focus on just getting everything prepared, minus growth that I'm taking care of on the team. But that's why Loom videos are so helpful as well. We actually have, so we can generate the report of who's in the meetings, who's going to be invited to the surge, who we want to do the work for. We can then automatically create the 125 note templates that I'll show in a minute, and we can start to just build out every single one. And as they get built out by the team that's our financial planning team, they are putting together Loom videos, 5 to 10 minute videos of a summary of everything in the notes. So that way we can quickly watch it, stay on top of it. And what's nice about that is even though we're prepping this month, maybe in August, and then probably not meeting with that client possibly till mid or late October, it's we can rewatch the video, and there's a section in our notes templates of recent updates since the video was created, where we can grab some like email communications that are relevant leading up to it. And it just really calmed down the level of stress during a search. The kind of jumping in on some of the meeting prep, we because we're using Salesforce, and I'll just show this is my sister and brother-in-law. They're not technically clients, we just help them give them advice. So Salesforce, if you're not very familiar with it, it is a beast, it's massive, but a lot of cool things you can do it and customize in it if you're willing to put in the effort or hire someone to help you do that. One of the things is we found this software called Drive Connect, where we're able to create all these meeting note templates based off of whatever surge meeting we're having, whatever conversation we're having, and then we can jump in and fill them out. So I was going to show real quick. This is just us grabbing a late year template so we can start to prep for that conversation with them. And it automatically pulls the template in. It adds it to their Google Drive folder in the correct spot. And it gives the ability for all the different team members, whatever the role is, to make sure do we need documents? If so, do we have them or not? Kind of laying out the organization for each meeting to help Ben on the team really focus on just the planning, not really where we left off. So this is one of the just templates, really basic, but it's some of the main details at the top. One page plan information from Salesforce. We do all of our one page plans in our CRM and keep it up to date there. And really helpful for later. I'll explain later, but recent communications as they come in after the notes are prepped and ready to go. Some other information right from Salesforce, which is nice. It can pull in all the data. And then this is where we get into the meeting notes, next steps, post-meeting work, all that kind of stuff. So it looks massive, the amount of stuff that's in there, but really it really helps us stay on top of we're not missing anything. We're staying in line with kind of the conversation, what we want to go through. They're getting all of the aspects of that surge in their plan. And this is their mid-year meeting. This was their tax planning meeting where we kind of laid out all of the details. So this is what we just went through with them. But you can kind of see again notes that happened during the meeting, anything relevant we wanted to make sure we pointed out. And then afterwards, the follow-up email and task list, that kind of thing. So just helps us stay organized as a team, make sure everyone's on the same page. Some of the things I did want to point out that really help with this are I guess the different software tools. One, we found this tool called Notebook LM. I don't know if anyone else is using it. It's a beta with Google. It's a AI tool. And because we use Google Drive, really happy. It's a AI tool that came out just for Google Drive, and we happen to use it. It is incredible for what it can help us do preparing for meetings. So wanted to just share this tidbit, but this is like you we have a client notes folder for all of our clients. And as we're preparing for a surge meeting, we actually bring in what does Notebook LM say, anything we should be aware of. You can actually pull in every client note you have. We also use Fireflies and we save off the dictation from the meetings. So it pulls in dictation as well. And it really shows here's a timeline of everything we've worked on and discussed with them, some characteristics, it's things about both of them. It's incredible. We were actually in a meeting the other day. One of our clients said they just got back from London, and I just typed in vacation into their Notebook LM, and it said they were going to go to Europe to visit their cousin. They told us that like a year and a half before. So I said, "Oh, that's right, your cousin lives there." And they lit up because they did not think I'd remember that or they even mentioned it. So it's just an incredible tool that can really organize things. And what's nice tool is AI, a lot of it's can I trust what it's saying? It pulls everything in and you can actually grab, there's links to it pulled it from this note. So it just jumps right over to it so you can verify what the note's saying. So super helpful tool. I did mention Fireflies, where we have that join every single surge meeting because of the post-meeting work, the follow-up. Because I'm in again every single meeting. I can't worry about meeting prep or meeting or post-meeting work. I need to make sure the team has that covered so I can just focus on the conversations each day. So it really is, as long as these things we're staying on top of them, I can be in those 6, 7 meetings a day that I love doing that. I get my energy from that without stressing about this person didn't get the follow-up yet. I dropped the ball on this task. I haven't prepared for the conversation for tomorrow. All those things that can really impact the current conversation you're having. Going through my list of stuff. One of the things we do is still using Google Sheets for a lot of the meeting prep and kind of staying on top of everyone's work. We do use a little bit of workflows as well, but something as simple as this is a kind of a made up week for us, but outside of surges, you could see something similar to this where we have a list of however many meetings or learn more calls, conversations, who's going to them, what the meeting type is, who's preparing for it. So that way we can always stay on top of each Friday. Is everything ready to go for next week? What do we need to talk about and discuss? The Loom videos that we can always circle back to and rewatch, make sure we're ready for that conversation. Any relevant topics that we need to call out when having that conversation. And then as well, the post-meeting work. So this has been extremely helpful with the follow-up go out. Did the one-page plan in Salesforce get taken care of and updated? Are all the tasks in there? Everything good to go? So that way we can close this tab out and focus on the next week. One of the other things I wanted to show is just how important it is for us to keep up with our one-page plans in Salesforce. I'll zoom in on this. This is another reason we love using the CRM is they have the one page plan functionality kind of built out in here to where we it's a part of our prospecting process and it goes from that learn more call. We have that discovery meeting, that plan presentation, and that's where we deliver the one page plan PDF. And if they sign up, we get it into Salesforce and we're always tracking and staying on top of it here. What's nice about that is we always have next meeting agendas listed out. Future planning topics, anything that they brought up that they want to address or we need to prioritize. Next meeting documents, if we know we need something or not, coming up to the next surge. And then if they're still in that onboarding phase, things we haven't got to yet, as well as their open tasks and recently completed tasks. And one of the reasons I love this is one of the questions we had earlier was how early do we send out the agendas for the meeting? They actually get the first Tuesday of every month a one-page plan email summary of this, showing here's their next meeting agenda, documents we need for that conversation, what tasks they're currently working on. And what's really nice about that, they know it's automated. We don't have to put a lot of effort in to make it pretty or personalized. But that plus the surges have literally changed our company from, I don't think we've lost a client in the last 3 years besides them passing away or we fired a couple clients. The retention rate when you're doing surges and really staying on top of this stuff, we used to get a lot of what's coming up, what's next, when are we getting back together? Because we were trying to do that let's get together once a quarter thing. And it was just a nightmare to keep up with. So surges for us, yes, it's been chaotic. It's taken us a few years to get to this point, but we're getting all of the work done. We're getting all the post-meeting work done for the first time ever. We have everybody going through the process. They know what's coming up. They don't even ask questions anymore. It's 100% retention rate. It's just incredible. So it's great for our company, great for our team, but also I think the best way to serve clients. And yeah, it's just been huge for us. One of the other things I did just want to say is make sure as you're building out your surge, kind of look at if you don't have a team like we have set up, if it's just yourself, or if you do have a team, what are your strengths and what can you offload? For me, I have a 2 in follow through from my Colby test. I cannot do post-meeting work, no matter what. If you gave me 10 hours of post-meeting work a week or 70 hours of client meetings, I will always pick the 70 hours. And because of that, I needed to offload post-meeting work. We have 2 part-time, basically client service associates that are doing all of the post-meeting work for us and staying on top of it. And leveraging something like Fireflies, where as the meeting ends, you say to the client, here's everything that we're going to do and get done over the next few weeks and summarize it. So it's all in there and delivered to the client service people so they can take it over, has been huge for us. You really got to look at like what your strengths are, what you want to focus on. And doing that was, there's a whole lot of, I should do the follow-ups. I feel guilty that I'm not, but it's much more important for me to be able to be in 5 or 6 meetings and make sure they go extremely well and still have room for 1 or 2 learn more calls or discovery meetings for us, onboarding for clients, and just not waste any time or energy on that follow-up work. So really just leverage who you are as a person and who you might be able to bring in or offload. I think I bounced around a bit, but I think that's everything I was going to go through in the surge process.
Okay. We have some questions for you too. So let's go through those. And if anybody wants to jump in, feel free to do so. Let's see. So the first one was Matthew asked, he said, I think you said it, but how long is your surge typically? Is that 120 meetings in both fall and spring?
Yes. Yeah. So we have about 125 entities, households that we invite to the summer and the mid-year and late-year surge. So 250 meetings that invites that are sent out and 75 that are sent out in the goal planning surge.
Any follow-up questions, Matthew?
No, I think that did. That's impressive.
Okay, awesome. Todd is asking, when are you meeting with physicians that doesn't interfere with their day?
So we start our meetings at 10 a.m. And we have 6 slots, last one starting at 6 p.m. So that way everybody's done by 7. So we can do the kind of wrap up, make sure everyone's good to go by 7:30 and log off. But that's Tuesday, Thursdays. Wednesdays, we make sure we're done by 5:30. So yeah, it's the 6 slots on Tuesday, Thursdays, and 5 slots on Wednesdays. But with how fast we're growing and we're in a kind of sweet spot of being able to tell people if they can't make the time, that it's just not going to be a good fit for us. So we're kind of spoiled that way. But yeah, our 6 p.m. slots fill up the quickest.
Our 7 a.m. fill up the quickest. We do 7 a.m. 3 days a week.
That makes sense.
Secretly hiring just new advisors from Pacific time, because we're in Cincinnati Eastern time. So that way I can get all my evenings back in the next few years.
Smart. Okay, from Rashani, the advisor who does the meeting records a Loom video after the meeting, creating a summary of the meeting. Why not just create a CRM note instead? Same thing, no?
So sorry, I must have misspoke on that one. So the advisor who's prepping the meeting creates a Loom video of, here's everything I prepped, the summary of the meeting, what's going on, how I got to the recommendations. So that way, us as the ones delivering the meeting or with the client can kind of digest everything, push back with any questions or concerns, or add anything to the video or the notes. And then we deliver the meeting with the client. We actually don't do a Loom video for after meetings. It's just taking that Firefly's dictation and summary for next steps and post-meeting work. I would say the thing I do love about switching the preparation with the scheduling is we only hit about 80% of our invites actually scheduling surge meetings. So, which we've been happy with. I have no idea if that's a good or terrible statistic, but the 80%, the other 20% of it, we have done the work. We have the Loom video. So us as the advisor then says, cool, I'll create a kind of more condensed few minute video of, hey client, we missed you this surge. We tried to get you on a few different times and just weren't able to connect, but did want to let you know, like for tax planning, did want to let you know, we see that you're maxing out your plans for the year. You're not running into any issues there. We see no issues with tax withholding. Kind of give them that same summary and send it to them so they can walk away from it. So that's one of the nice things, is when we were doing the scheduling first, the 20% we didn't get to, we just didn't get to that work until they scheduled the meeting, which was frustrating.
Oh, so the Loom video is for before the meeting. It's the prep in between the team members before the meeting. Okay.
Yep. Which is so helpful, because
why not just meet over a Zoom call and just do it? Why record a Loom? Because it's just a one-way communication, right? Like there's no two-way.
So because Ben on the team is preparing, I'd say 60-70% of the meetings, surge meetings, and we have 100 possibly in that 6-week window, we need those Loom videos in order to really jump in quickly, understand it, not turn every single, hey, this is what I prepared, what do you guys think, into a conversation. We'll get to, hey, there's 20 Loom videos that were created this week and meetings prepped. We only have to talk about 3 or 4 of them because we're all on the same page for the other 16, 17. And what's nice too is we won't have that conversation for possibly a month or a month and a half later. And I can rewatch the Loom video as many times as I want to kind of refresh myself, make sure I'm on the same page, ready to go. And it's been really nice because we've been doing this for a couple of years. We keep, like, I can rewatch their tax plan from last year before I dig into the Loom video for this year's tax plan.
John, did you Robbie, I think that's smart, because there's so much coming at you to be able to pull that. That's a takeaway for me today, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Bridget, do you have a question about that?
I just wanted to clarify, are the Loom videos strictly internal, or are you sending these to the client as well as like a, here's what we're going to discuss, kind of like a video agenda?
So they're strictly internal unless the client does not sign up for the surge meeting. And then we still want to show them we did work and kind of give them a touch point. So I, since I'm leading the relationships, I re-record the video myself from like a 10-minute summary from Ben to me to a 3 to 5 minute client-facing summary, and I send that to them. So that's the only time we're sending videos.
Great, thanks.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, from Steven, when you're using Fireflies during the meetings, how did you initially introduce that and frame that to the clients?
So when you bring it in, you can actually rename it in Zoom to just note taker. And I do that because when people see the word AI, they tend to panic. But we literally tell them, hey, we have this AI tool that makes sure I get done what I'm promising you today. And no one's ever pushed back on that. So, but yeah, just taking the word AI out of the name eliminated all questions about it.
Debbie's asking, does that mean you put all of your meeting notes into Google Docs, not Redtail, or does the AI tool integrate with your CRM?
All of it goes into Google Docs. So there's stuff that we'll take out of the meeting notes because of, let's say, on the tax planning meeting, we adjusted distributions or certain tax planning recommendations. There's areas of our CRM that we need to update because of the meetings conversation, but everything else just stays in the Google notes and we just pull it into future discussions from there using Notebook LM. And it's easy also to just read through what happened last meeting. Just takes a couple minutes.
Roshani is wondering, Fireflies over Fathom AI. Did you test multiple? How did you settle on that one?
My dad, so we're both 9 in quick start in our Colby, 2 for follow-up, so follow through. So he loves this stuff. So he's tested all of them. I don't really know why he chose Fireflies.
Yeah, I believe that Stephanie and Michael had a conversation about this, and Michael had tested a few, Michael Kitsis, and said, yeah, Fathom is a pretty good one. So that's what we use. We've heard good things about Fireflies too. So I think one of those or test your own. So but those two are vetted at least. Okay, Rashani says it records a meeting and people sometimes don't like that, right? So framing, like Stephanie mentioned. Timothy is asking, are you using HollistiPlan for your tax planning?
Yes, yeah. HollistiPlan is huge for us. Ben is our tax expert. That's why he came on the team. He's obsessed with all things tax related. So, yeah, he's really focused in HollistiPlan. And that's why, again, the Loom videos are so helpful. I am so far from a tax expert. I have my CFP, but I don't think I'll ever be an expert in any aspect of financial planning, total honesty. But I get my energy from just being with the clients. I'd rather it's sometimes you get into these meetings where Ben put together 6, 7 pages of notes, and I'd rather just talk to them about their feelings and what's going on in life and all the other things a part of their plan. But yeah, just making sure you have that person that's building out the plan and they're in a good spot and we're able to deliver it. The Loom video helps out a ton with that.
Okay. John Zox is the one that is specifically for financial planning. It looks like that, Adam, and you were
Yes,
testing.
that's the one we're using right now.
And you like it, you're having success
Yeah,
with
we're having
it.
success with it. I guess the feedback I would give to any advisor is just like a car is a tool to get us places, AI is a tool to get us places, and you have to do things with the car. You have to drive the car for it to work properly. And so that's the same thing with AI. So when I'm using AI, I have to phrase things separately. So like, oh, client, so we're saying we're going to open an IRA, a traditional IRA for you, and we're going to contribute the maximum for 2024 into it. So you just kind of have to learn your phrasing to make sure the AI picks up on it.
Okay, great. I think we made it through all the questions in the chat. If you have any remaining, feel free to unmute. We can make this into a conversation. Robbie and John, if you have any additional thoughts or anything you want to summarize as we're wrapping up here in the next few minutes, feel
There's
free.
a
Yeah,
couple.
I always feel like people forget to just unmute and have a conversation.
And a couple of personal things that'll help. One bullet point that I have is once that initial email goes out to all your clients about surge scheduling, you don't own your calendar anymore. So if there's anything personal that you want to make sure that you block during that time, you make sure you do that before that email comes out. And so, because if you have to reschedule, it just adds unnecessary complication. And then also when I'm in surge, I have a conversation with my family being like, this is dad's busy time. So I need you to do this or these things. And because I do surge, it means I get to do X, Y, Z with you when I'm not in surge and set expectations, which has been really great for me. I love it from that side.
Yeah, you talked about, you and Robbie both talked about this earlier. And the thing that I always add, I know you echoed follow-up because I'm a freak about the follow-up and bucketing, is that there's no one way to surge. It, when we talk about surging, think of it like you can surge it tight like Robbie and Chris do, and you're just going to have a bigger wave, right? So you've got to, again, allow for the follow-up. And they do nice, like things I always recommend is like take a break in between. If it's a shorter surge, you can take 3 days off, right? If it's a 9, 10, 12 week surge, right? To John's point, like take the week before, a week in the middle, right? Giving yourself breaks, because when you're in surge, if you're doing it right, it's all you're doing. So the biggest mistake aside from prep and follow up, right, is that we try to do other things. And so you, again, if your surges are 16 weeks long, you're going to need to have breaks for some client interaction and certainly for some prospects in there, right? So you can block days the way that Adam does now, right? It's, you know, prospect calls on Tuesdays or Tuesdays and Thursdays. I promise people will wait 3 to 5 days, if not weeks. Adam's had a waiting list many times, just on and off, depending on how busy they get. Right? Chris and Robbie have the same thing. When you get those growth engines going, right? They're, we call them hiccups, HQPs, high quality problems. But surges, you know, Christy Rains, I don't know if she's on, she's got three, now four kids under the age of like five. Like if she's out 3 days because a kid is sick, like in surge, she's 20 meetings behind. So for her at this point in life, she does like what I'll call mini surges. So if you're nervous about surges, you don't have to do 6 weeks or 9 weeks of the death march at 6 meetings a day. I would never do 6 meetings a day. Like at 4 meetings, my brain, I can do 5 calls a day. I figured out, but by like 6, I'm just like, I gotta get now here, caveat, Robbie and Chris in particular have a very defined niche. The narrower your niche, the more meetings you can do, because they get really efficient. Optometry, like, they're on a schedule. They're not talking about everything in every meeting, which is right year one, MVP service model, model meetings and surges. Get those three things nailed. Then you're going to hit the next evolution of your service model. Now you can start putting it on a calendar. You can do value adds. Step one, get those tracks laid. Feel free. We have people, Ben Brand, I don't know if you guys remember, Ben started doing, he's like now the surge master. Right. But he started with a quarterly surge because that was what he felt like he and his team could kind of acclimate to. And then they were like, oh, we get it. And then they went to twice a year. Like, so now, right. So they kind of eased into it. If you've got young kids or you're a little bit concerned about being like blocked up so much, you can stretch them out. Or I like to do them in quarterly cycles, right? Do 2 meetings a quarter. 2 weeks a quarter and then off, 2 weeks a quarter and then off. You just have to decide when to make sure that that timeline works, depending on what you're covering when. So that's just a long way of saying surges can work for anyone.
Yep.
One of the advisors, is Dana. No, she did a Kitsis post on why surges don't work for me. And I was like, great. Like, absolutely. Like, I am not going to tell you, you have to do surges. I'm going to tell you that you can do surges in a way that really deepens value to clients, because you're clear, you're focused, you've got an agenda, like, you know what you're there to do. You've got a great process for following up. So that consistency and reliability that is so important to the relationship. And it's just hyper efficient because you and the team are like, this is what we're doing over and over. It becomes like, right, just the factory. And I don't mean that in a way that cheapens it. Scaling up in this case doesn't mean we water down. It means that we deliver more specialized services We're just good business people, so we've learned how to do it hyper efficiently. And when you combine deeper value to clients with more efficiency at the office, right, or in the process, that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you get to enjoy the ride and the rewards, because it's good for clients, it's good for business, and it's ultimately good for everyone. So Robbie and John, thanks so much for taking the time. If you guys have any other questions, please feel free to drop them on Tribe. But it looks like we covered a lot of ground today.
Yes. And one final question here from Julie. Are you using a financial planning tool?
Yep. We use Right Capital. So the only mass update we do to that and focus of Right Capital is in the late year kind of financial independence search. So throughout the rest of the year, we're not really focusing on it too much unless clients have questions in it.
Yeah, we use eMoney, as I mentioned, I believe, earlier.
Can I just ask you quickly how much time you actually spend on the plans and the documents relative to just overall conversation?
I would say Ben would be frustrated if in some of the meetings, there's times I'm like, Ben put 6 pages of tax planning notes together, but I know you don't care about that stuff and you're in a good spot. So how's life? How's vacation? That kind of stuff. But yeah, it's a lot more on the relationship building, knowing that since we're surging and we're doing all of the work efficiently and providing all this value, that we really don't have to focus on it that much for clients. We can just focus on the relationship.
That's awesome. John, how about you?
Yeah, not much.
So plans, I say that to highlight that the client meeting is not a plan document review the way that it shouldn't be an quarterly investment review. The plan and the process, if you've listened to Robbie and John, it takes a bit of time, but once you lay the tracks and then you start turning the flywheel, as Adam likes to say, by year two, it just becomes a system for you and for clients. It any resistance, and to Robbie's point, you're just constantly tweaking how efficient you can get, what you can standardize and automate. And over the course of about 3 years, you can go through everything. Your estate planning checklist, your 529, your somebody died, somebody dead. Yep. Everything. Adam's I don't know, we're over 90 at this point. Unless you buy Red Tail workflows from Adam, which I always recommend, because that is the shortest distance. If you've got Red Tail, why would you do that on your own? Other than that, if you have a system where someone is selling customizations, buy them, because it's faster than building them on your own. Otherwise, you're going to sit down with your team. And as you build out your MVP service model, meetings, agenda, model meeting, and then you get into, hey, we're going to cover tax planning in the spring, we're going to do this in the fall. Liz Hand does a really cool thing on the softer side, right? Because obviously she loves coaching, but anyone could do it. She sends out life planning kind of stuff at least once a year. Clients don't have to fill it out. But it's hey, if you want to update your retirement plan or your vision, or you want to talk about what you want it to be, here's our little worksheet to help you and a video, and click this calendar link. And I, Liz, will be happy to talk to you. Oh my God, she loves when people click that link because they want to talk about stuff that she wants to talk about. If it were technical, right, she would have a batch of people that she knew wanted to talk about a technical topic. So you really can start to layer outside of the meetings, the work. So that, to Robbie and John's point, the meetings are everything's good, right? Yeah, okay, what do we want to talk about? People just get used to it. They're like, oh, we did this. Yep, the taxes are always he's got the 6 pages of notes. If there was something, he would tell me. And it takes that trust equity, which is the most valuable currency you have, and it just amps that over a couple of years, because the consistency, the reliability, the professionalism, the thorough, it just all comes to bear in a way that is really world-class compared to the experience that most people are getting in, even in good advisory firms. So John, Robert, thank you so much for your time. You guys, as you implement surges, bring those questions to Tribe, obviously to office hours, and we will do everything we can to support you. You guys, thanks so much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.